Now, once we've done a sequence of experiments, once we've made a certain financial and intellectual commitment, once the FDA has approved of these procedures for human beings, then there's no way of getting off the treadmill. We have not put the ethics there in the first place. From a holistic medical viewpoint, rather than a mechanistic spare parts approach, this would simply have never have occurred.
Experimentation and experimentation with animals has been a part of medical research for the past century, and it has contributed to virtually every medical advance, and it has led to a remarkable change in how people live and how well they can live.
Michael Fox of the Humane Society of the United States and Jeffrey Platt of Duke University Medical Center. They're here to talk about biotechnology, the ethics of genetic engineering, and medical practice. Welcome to Soundings, a radio magazine from the National Humanities Center. I'm Wayne Pond. Major funding for this edition of Soundings comes from the Burroughs Wellcome Fund and the Glaxo Educational and Cultural Outreach Endowment Fund at the National Humanities Center. Among the many forms of current scientific research, transgenic medicine is certainly on the cutting edge. It's also one of the most controversial. The word transgenic, in fact, is not even found in most dictionaries. One illustration of a transgenic organ, for instance, is a pig liver laced with human genes for transplantation inside a human body to function like dialysis machines already function outside human bodies. But even though the government has given Duke University the green light for the first transgenic procedure involving a human patient in 1997, the operation will hardly be without its critics. Listen now for a discussion featuring two contrasting views of transgenic medical research and practice. You'll hear from Michael Fox, currently serving as Vice President and Head of the Section on Bioethics and Farm Animal Protection at the Humane Society of the United States. You'll also hear from Jeffrey Platt, the physician in charge of transgenic clinical research at Duke University Medical Center. Both Michael Fox and Jeffrey Platt participated in a recent conference on the ethics of animal biotechnology convened by the Hastings Center, the North Carolina Biotechnology Center, and the National Humanities Center. Here is Jeffrey Platt.
A transgenic animal is an animal whose genetic material has added to it a gene of extrinsic origin. So out of all of the genes that this animal has, say a million genes, there is one gene or a few small number of genes that are added to it, which may have consequences that are good or bad for the animal.
How old is the concept of a transgenic animal?
It's about 10 years old.
So we're talking very recent developments here in medical, experimentation? Is that the right word to use?
Well, for the most part, this has been part of experimentation in medicine and biology, yes.
Dr. Fox, what do the ethicists have to say about transgenic animals? Is there a way to characterize what the concerns, the causes that are being coming to the conversation here?
There are many questions to be asked here and answered. First of all, this is an entirely new relationship to the animal kingdom. Never before have we been able to alter animals so profoundly by removing, deleting, and adding certain genes from other species. Some of the first transgenic animals that were created were so-called super or giant mice that had human growth genes put into them. Questions like, what is this relationship now? I call it genetic parasitism. Secondly, is it really necessary? Do we really need to do these things? Very soon online we'll have transgenic fish that grow much faster than normal for people to eat. And very soon we will have transgenic farm animals producing pharmaceuticals in their milk and pigs with human genes serving as organ donors. So there is a whole host of ethical questions here in terms of our relationship toward the animal kingdom. And what is this going to mean, say, 500 or 1,000 years from now? Are most of us, because of various genetic and other health problems, going to have our own surrogate animals that are going to be used? And as a veterinarian myself, I wonder if vets in the future will do house calls to take care of people's surrogate animals that are taking care of them physiologically and otherwise. Very curious future.
Now, Dr. Platt, there is a host of issues that Dr. Fox raises in that comment. How would you characterize the set of concerns that that drives what you do as a, you call yourself a transplant immunologist?
Well, let me say first that I'm a physician and trained as a physician and a scientist secondarily. And so much of what I do is motivated by the goal of trying to understand and deal with human diseases and human maladies. So that, in part at least, is the is a very strong and impelling motive for what we do.
What we have here is two noble causes apparently coming into conflict. Is it fair to say that each in your own way here, personally, if not institutionally, you are hopeful that there is a middle ground where these two conflicting causes come together?
No, I don't believe there can be a middle ground here.
Why is that?
We need an estimated 60 to 100,000 organs for people in need every year in this country. And we do have a problem of supply. What we urgently need is a far better network to provide healthy organs from recently deceased people, rather than genetically engineering pigs to serve as liver, heart, and other organ donors for people. And this is at a highly experimental stage here.
Let me stop you for a moment, Dr. Fox. Human beings stand at the top of the food chain. I guess the word is triumphalism.
No, let me correct you there.
If we've used them for decades, eons,
let me
why
correct
not
you there biologically. The concept of a food chain is illusory, Aristotelian, hierarchical, linear thinking. We're part of a food web. We're part of a holarchy, not a hierarchy. And it's hierarchical thinking that has got the human species into an awful lot of trouble.
How do you respond to this, Dr. Platt, as a physician?
You know, I think to go back to the original question that you asked, which perhaps wasn't entirely answered by that, I think that we all have different views. And this is good. This is characteristic of humans who think and care about what they're doing in the world around them. And there may not be a way in which to reconcile different views. And the challenge is to use the different views and use the conflict in a way that we can all make progress and society can make progress and accomplish society's goals, even though we may not share the concept of the same goals that society may have.
Where is it that each of you, as somebody who speaks for the animal rights community, somebody who speaks for the scientific research empirical community, where do you turn for your models of authority
I think, in
answering questions like this?
Dr. I think where we're going here, you were bringing up the food chain, which I corrected by saying it's a food web, that there is the consequentialist idea that we argue, well, we eat pigs, so why not use them for other ways to save human life? But we can turn this around and ask, is this the best way to help people in need of organs and so on? First of all, is the specter of preventing organ damage in the first place. Second is the incredible risk that a lot of health experts are putting forward now, that there are viruses, many of which have not been identified yet, in swine, in baboons and other species that could get into the human population through organ transplantation. And the fact that drugs are given to organ recipients to weaken their immune systems to stop organ rejection could then increase the virulence of viruses. A lot of health experts are saying, including the latest Economist, saying let's put a moratorium on all of this organ transplant work and think our way through it.
All right. Now, Dr. Platt, I want you to respond to this.
Let me respond in the reverse order. First of all, the greatest health risk to an individual who receives an organ transplant is receiving an organ from another human. They're much more likely to receive an infectious disease through that route than they are, especially through the route if it were a distantly related species, such as the pig. But I think that the issue needs to be addressed in several separate segments. One is the question of whether and how animals should be used in a utilitarian sense, if you will, for the benefit of humankind. If one believes that there should not be the kind of relationship that we have to animals, as Dr. Fox, I think, implies there should not be, then there is no point in discussing, you know, what rationale there is for using them in a certain way. And then the second question is whether this particular use of animals, that is, as organ donors, is a rational one, which mm-hmm. I think that it is.
Mm-hmm. These are part of the questions that need to be raised. Others are, what is this going to do in terms of health costs and insurance? Just a little bit down the line. For the venture capitalist, I think this is extremely promising to start engineering pigs and possibly trying to develop a whole infrastructure to provide this for people. At this stage, people are being used as guinea pigs mm-hmm. to receive, to be plugged into a pig's liver. And the doctor here has already put pig's hearts into baboons that lasted a few hours in the steps toward this final end. Now, once we've done a sequence of experiments, once we've made a certain financial and intellectual commitment, once the FDA has approved of these procedures for human beings, then there's no way of getting off the treadmill. We have not put the ethics there in the first place. From a holistic medical viewpoint, rather than a mechanistic spare parts approach, this would simply have never have occurred. The fact that it has occurred is reflective something of our attitude towards life and of the human psyche and of human values. This is the importance of the debate here, that where are we going as a species of 5.6 billion people now genetically engineering animals to provide spare parts and tissues and pharmaceuticals to help us adapt to an increasingly pathogenic environment that we've created ourselves. These are the kinds of issues that we need to really mm-hmm. debate. Where are we going with this technology? Is it best for humanity?
Well, let me jump in again and pose to you one of the central and defining questions here, and that is to say, you have obviously staked out the territory. There is a strong reason for disagreement here, but who does the average citizen turn to? That is to say, how do we figure out what our cultural and social and medical models are going to be so that we can look reasonably and rationally and calmly for answers to these questions rather than simply yelling at one another across a chasm here. After all, are we stuck with what, a sort of a chaotic, it's just going to unfold and let the chips fall where they may? Or
well,
is there...
I think if we simply characterize a given human activity in a certain way, and we just say that this is whatever terms were used by Dr. Fox to mm-hmm. describe this, then of course the discussion ends there, because it either is of that sort or it isn't, and those things sound terribly horrible. I mean, the fact is that experimentation and experimentation with animals has been a part of medical research for the past century, and it has contributed to virtually every medical advance, and it has led to a remarkable change in how people live and how well they can live. So I think that on the one hand, you know, we can take up the issue of how is the individual who really is not a part of medical research or doesn't know anything about it, how are they going to view this? Mm-hmm. But on the other, we can look to the past and see how medical research has contributed to our civilization and compare the way we live with the way people live in societies that don't have the benefits of modern medicines and modern surgical approaches to disease. As for the specific issue of the use of animals in transplantation, I think that there are very few areas of medicine that have yielded greater excitement and greater rewards than transplantation for those people who are able to receive transplants. These are people who have chronic organ failure, who have devastating illnesses, and the course of their lives can be reversed in a very short period of time by a transplant, if one is available. And the problem is that one is not available in most cases. And in the case of some organs, the vast majority of need cannot be met and will never be met mm-hmm. From human sources.
Well, the question becomes, Dr. Fox, what is the alternative to the model that we're living with now?
I need first to push a point of clarification and correction. The doctor said that every medical advance has come through animal experimentation. This is one of the myths being perpetrated today by the biomedical research industry.
Mm-hmm. So where has the
which has more to
from?
Do with making money than with healing. Uh-huh. The true medical advances, and the doctor will agree if he remembers his history of medicine, has come through sanitation, clean water, good diets, and so forth.
A step removed from what we think.
Yes, a step far removed from justifying the continuation of using animals in biomedical research. From this more holistic, ecological, social perspective of healthcare maintenance and so on, we would say that greater attention to diets, to lifestyles, to reducing alcohol consumption, and to reducing the number of drugs being prescribed that cause liver and kidney damage in people, the so-called iatrogenic side effects. Mm-hmm. This more holistic approach, and especially if we had politicians getting behind encouraging people to eat less animal fat and protein to save their hearts and their livers and so forth, we would not need organ transplants in the first place. The pathology of what we're seeing here is that one industry piggybacks on the pathology of another. So because we have increasing organ deterioration and need for organs in the human population, then we spawn another industry creating animals to be the suppliers of those organs. Mm-hmm. Rather than changing lifestyles, nutrition, the increasing intoxication of the environment and our entire food web with chemicals, agrochemicals, industrial chemicals, cadmium, dioxin.
What Dr. Fox is saying, first of all, is that public health is very important, which I fully agree with, and that public health by itself can yield significant advances in the way people live, and I absolutely agree with that. But to imply that human diseases derive entirely from a lack of cleanliness or how people eat, I mean, there just is absolutely no evidence for that. Certainly how we eat can contribute to our health and well-being, but most of the diseases for which people receive organ transplants are not caused because people eat the wrong food or people live in an uncleanly environment.
Mm-hmm. Dr. Platt and Dr. Fox were talking about transgenic animals, ethics, and reality. The program is Soundings from the National Humanities Center. Where is it that, again, the average citizen is going to turn to understand the terms and the ground rules of this debate and figure out some answers? Or am I sort of dreaming here that average citizens really should know or do care about these things? Are we, after all, talking about the arguments that go on within highly specialized segments of our philosophical or ethical or medical communities? Dr. Fox?
Well, I think the average citizen has to go an awful long way to reclaim their control and responsibility for their own health. They have abdicated their responsibility to a biomedical research industry, which I think in the development of organ transplantation is a very good example, an outrageous example of irresponsible, unbridled capitalism.
Well, now, wait a minute.
Let me finish this thought.
America. We live in a capitalistic society.
Let me finish the thought. A capitalistic society, but we're talking about social good. We have a massive displacement here of resources and good minds. Instead of emphasizing preventive medicine and making people more socially responsible so that we have presumed consent for the donation of organs from people to people, rather than developing an industrial infrastructure with potentially high risk. Many virologists and epidemiologists, unlike the surgeon here, are very concerned about potentially new diseases coming from transplanted animal organs into the human population that could make Ebola virus and AIDS look like chickenpox.
How about this, Dr. Platt?
I call that a lot of hysteria. First of all, to characterize the medical community as Dr. Fox does is very unfortunate. I think that the vast majority of physicians are highly dedicated, very hardworking individuals who are holding the best interests of their patients and would gladly give up their own comforts and so forth for their patients. So I absolutely disagree with Dr. Fox's characterization. I can understand it if he believes that all people need to do is to be in a healthy environment and eat good food. Then, of course, they don't need physicians. You know, no one compels a person in our society to go to a physician. So if they want to choose a holistic course for their lives, they're welcome to do that. That's a matter of their consent. We're talking about for those who want to hold out the benefits that medical science and medicine has reaped for people during this century, people also ought to have the choice to to take advantage of those things and not to live and die the way they did at the turn of the century.
Let me pose to you a question that came up in the last summer, the conference on transgenic animals and ethics and reality over at our North Carolina Biotechnology Center. Why is it that people don't get upset over a hybrid tomato or a transgenic tomato or potato, and they do get upset over transgenic animals?
Well, I don't think people get particularly upset. I think Dr. Fox does and a few other people do. But I think by and large, people only get upset when they're ignorant.
Dr. Fox?
Thank you for the compliment. A lot of people are upset about transgenic tomatoes because the potential adverse ecological impact, especially to soil microorganisms, of the virus components and other genetic complements within the tomato have not been answered by the government. I would ask the good doctor here, or I would ask listeners, who would they consider going to a doctor like this experimental surgeon here, who would even contemplate putting a genetically engineered pig's heart into a baboon, knowing that this is such a high risk, knowing that that is doing nothing to their baboon at all, that we are at a point now where we are sacrificing very closely related species for our own. There are 5.6 billion of us on this planet, and I think what we're dealing with here is a reflective pathology of anthropocentrism, that we're so preoccupied with saving our own kind, with saving individuals, with being great doctor, surgeon, heroes, that we're losing sight of the tragedy of reality that we are creating by manipulating our minds to accept the creation of transgenic animals to save more human lives.
Dr. Platt?
Well, I think throughout history there have been those who have stood against and feared the advances that came with science and human technology. I mean, in the 19th century, some people believed that if one's speed were to exceed 25 or 26 miles an hour, that this was highly unphysiologic, and therefore there should be no trains. 26 miles an hour. But this was very strongly felt at that time. And certainly there are fears now, and Dr. Fox is raising fears that for the large part are hysteria. That doesn't mean that they're entirely unfounded. Some of the things that Dr. Fox mentions are serious concerns, and they're concerns that we attempt to deal with. One concern, for example, is infectious illnesses and the potential of transmission of infectious illnesses. And I would point out, as I did before, that we are very concerned about this, not only in terms of the transplanting of animal organs into people, but also human organs into other humans. Mm-hmm. It's a very serious concern.
Dr. Fox, we have just a couple of minutes left.
You said a couple of minutes ago that was rubbish and hysteria.
No, I said that the overall view that you were expressing was rubbish and hysteria about the medical community.
I don't quite see how my concerns can be lumped with, as you would, the kind of neo-Luddite fear of progress, fear of automobiles or trains moving faster.
That's what it sounds like.
Well, it seems to me that you... Well, go ahead.
You are regarding what you're doing as progress. A lot of people say that progress cannot be stopped. What the ethicists are saying, and this is not the animal writers, but what the ethicists are saying is, let us raise questions and look at the consequences of where we're going, and ask the first question, is all of this really necessary in the first place?
How about this? Is medical
What I referred to as progress were what I consider progress, advances that were made in the past. I don't think that we can judge progress at the time that it's going on. I mean, part of medical research, part of any kind of research, is experimentation. Some experiments succeed and some experiments fail.
So this is too great a price to pay?
So I don't think at this point we can judge that as progress or not.
Because of the mythology of progress, we need to look at our relationships toward animals and the rest of creation and use our technology appropriately, primarily to heal that relationship and focus less on our selfish preoccupation of trying to heal ourselves with high-tech ways rather than focusing on prevention.
I'll give you the last word, Dr. Platt. How do you respond to that?
I think what we need is a lot of reflection, a lot of consideration of society, and I do very much respect Dr. Fox's views and the very strong feelings that he has. I disagree with him thoroughly. I think and I know that we will continue to advance in medicine in the future as we have in the past, but what society needs are these disagreements and opportunities to come together and debate.
One quick footnote to our conversation, gentlemen. Dr. Plant, what do you consider to be your greatest triumph, that is, individually or speaking on behalf of the medical establishment? Very quickly.
I'm an academic scientist, so my triumph is in my students.
Dr. Fox, where do you see your victories being won?
I see my victories being won in the increasing realization that human beings are not the center of creation, that we're not the only manifestation of the sacred on this planet.
You're listening to Soundings, a radio magazine from the National Humanities Center. I'm Wayne Pond with the first of two programs on biotechnology and transgenic medicine. My guests this week were Michael Fox of the Humane Society of the United States and Jeffrey Platt of Duke University Medical Center. Both Michael Fox and Jeffrey Platt participated in a recent conference on animal biotechnology sponsored by the Hastings Center, the North Carolina Biotechnology Center, and the National Humanities Center. Major funding for this edition of Soundings came from the Burroughs Wellcome Fund and the Glaxo Educational and Cultural Outreach Endowment at the National Humanities Center. I'll be back in just a moment with information about where to write for an audio cassette of this program. You're listening to Soundings from the National Humanities Center. I'm Wayne Pond. My guests this week were Michael Fox of the Humane Society of the United States and Jeffrey Platt of Duke University Medical Center. Audio tapes of this program are available for $10 postpaid. Please write to Soundings, the National Humanities Center, Research Triangle Park, North Carolina. Our zip code is 27709. When you write, please ask for program number 807. That's $10, program number 807. The address again is Soundings, the National Humanities Center, Research Triangle Park, North Carolina. Our zip code is 27709. Next week, part two of Soundings on the Ethics of Transgenic Medical Research and Practice. You'll hear from novelist Alan Gerganus and from Jeremy Sugarman of Duke University Medical Center. Until next week's show, thanks for listening to Soundings. Our theme music is by Jeff Perry. Soundings is a cultural affairs service of the National Humanities Center.